We are here. We are queer. We are loving life. We are mediocrity. This is our second episode. We survived our pilot episode.
We did.
There was blood. There were tears. There were laughs. But we're here still, right?
It was largely just all right.
Oh, but it was just okay.
It's not bad.
I think one or two people listened to it. But
maybe three.
Maybe three?
Two of those being my parents, I think.
I'm glad.
One being my girlfriend.
There we go. Who's here? Hi, Josie. Say hi.
Hi.
She's our mediator today in case things get too crazy. But I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. Also with 660 AM KSKY, the radio entertainment answer. It's going to be awesome. We're also here with Jonathan Atterbury. Say hi, John.
Hello, everybody.
He's got a really cool shirt on right now, Buff Dudes. You know these guys, right?
I'm familiar with them via the interwebs. Basically, they were some of the guys that got me started with my fitness journey. They kind of used their videos as really inspirational stuff.
Okay.
And they have super comfy t-shirts, so that helps.
Good, good. Buff Dudes, if you're listening, come on the show.
They are big superhero fans, so they may be interested in talking some Avengers.
We just have to tell them that our show is just okay.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Not to pressurize us. Tell us where we can find you on Twitter and what you're doing since the last week.
Well, so I'm on Instagram at New American Fitness, mm-hmm. and I'm on Twitter at New American Fit.
Uh-huh.
Basically, since last week, I've just been keeping up, trying to get the blog going again, some new articles in the works, and that's
okay.
what I've been doing.
So if you're new, you're American and into fitness.
Yeah.
Jonathan's your guy. I like it. And we're also here with Jeremy Mager, the awesome comic book artist, musician, all-around awesome dude. What you got going on? What you been doing since last week?
Just more illustrating Primal Instinct. Just working on the second issue, and then we're prepping submission packages for the first one to see if we can find a publishing home for the book. So yeah, that's pretty much what's going on there.
So remind people what that book's about.
That book is, think Jurassic Park meets Battlestar Galactica, and that's that book.
Every time you say that, I get hard. Every time. You posted something on Twitter. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Jeremy Megert Art.
Okay.
And you can find me there on Instagram under the same ID and also on Facebook.
You posted something about the first issue being done, but you just want to get the second pages out there because you're so excited about it.
Yes, the book is so much fun to draw that I'm dying to share everything from it.
Yeah, cool. And we have a couple guests here today. We have a couple dogs that are awesome. What are their names?
That would be Maggie and Kal-El.
Maggie and Kal-El are here, and they might chime in if they don't like what we say. We're excited for it. And I have to mention, there they are. I'm very excited.
On cue. Now, Brian, what have you been up to this week?
So far this week, there are 6 screenings that I've seen, and I have 2 more today, and there's 2 radio shows. One's right now and the other one's tonight, which we'll be talking about WWE specifically. That's called The Title Picture. If you're into wrestling, check it out. It's on iTunes. We're on iTunes under the Multimedia Men banner, but we are mediocrity. We're just okay. Okay. And before we get started on this awesome show, Jonathan brought out some mugs full of beverages, and they're all really badass. One is Jake and Elwood. We're on a mission mug from the Blues Brothers. I don't think Jeremy's ever seen that movie.
I have not seen it. What's it about?
They're on.
It's about jazz.
It's about classical music. And I've got my mug says I'm finishing my coffee. Big Lebowski, Walter Sobchak. Oh, it's so good. And then the other one over here is looks like Lord of the Rings. Josie, this is your favorite movie in the world, right?
It's actually The Hobbit, so no, it's not my favorite movie.
I got called out. I like it. That's why she's here.
Yep.
So here we go. We're going to start off today. As you know, we're in the start of the summer. We're in Texas, so it's hot as balls. So all the TV shows are ending, so we've had several TV show finales that have come up. Some were awesome, some were not so awesome, but we're going to discuss them anyway. We're trying not going to kill each other while we're talking about it. So, what shall we start? Should we start off with Game of Thrones, or should we leave this?
I think we can start off.
Let's just peek early.
Yeah.
And then get to the myth.
Whatever good stuff is in the show, let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah, it's usually like 30 seconds for me, so I'm done.
Yeah. And then you're spent.
Then I'm spent. I'm done. So, Game of Thrones this season was so good. And usually in the past seasons of Game of Thrones, the penultimate episode, which is usually the second to last episode, is usually their best episode. But I'm willing to say that this final episode, this finale, I should say, of this season, was even better than their penultimate episode. They really set it up. I mean, so many people... Spoiler, if you haven't seen it, go fuck yourselves. a lot of people died, but a lot of things came into place for the next season. I'm really excited. So I'm going to start... Who wants to start? Jonathan or Jeremy? 2J. Jonathan, I want you to start by telling me what you thought about the last two episodes, what you thought about the finale, and was it all that you hoped for?
Oh, man. Well, okay, episode 9 and 10 were so, so good. I was so very pleased in every possible way by both of those episodes. I mean, I was... So last season, there felt like, to me, like there was a lot of meandering. This one was much faster, much more on point. There were really only a couple times throughout the season where I felt like they were dragging a little bit. But it was very interesting to see exactly where they were going. And I gotta say, okay, are we doing spoilers?
Yeah,
okay,
spoilers. Cool. I said spoilers.
Okay, yeah, like
spoilers.
You said, go fuck yourself if you haven't seen it already. But the moment, I think the most shocking moment of the season to of the season finale to me was when Tommen threw himself out the window. That to me,
so
I mean, there was a lot of, like, okay, when Cersei blew up the Sept, that, I saw that coming like 30 seconds before, but I didn't even think that Tommen was going to be involved in that.
That's why they call it King's Landing.
Exactly.
Aha!
Aha! It's just that one spot, just where the splatter mark is.
Has anybody ever seen the TV, the British TV show, The IT Crowd?
I have not.
You have not?
No.
There's a very similar scene to that where, like, the head of this big corporation, like, police come in and just want to question him about something fraudulent, and literally he just gets up and there's the dog, gets up and just walks out the window and falls to his death. And that's pretty much what happened in Game of Thrones. You don't hear anything, he doesn't say anything, he just, like, meh. And we're going.
Yeah. I mean, there's that one little second where he puts down the crown and you go, uh-oh. But it's really not, nothing even happened in my mind until he took off the crown. I was like, oh, shit. He's about to kill himself.
King's Landing. I like that. Do we need a t-shirt that says King's Landing and him, like,
just a splatter mark?
Yeah, that's really good.
But yeah, I mean, I was thrilled. And of course, the Battle of the Bastards was just nonstop awe, I think, for me. I think that's how I'd put it. The battle that they had in there, the big fight scene with the horses colliding into each other, was one of the most awesome and exciting.
It was very Lord of the Rings-esque.
It was, but good. Even more gritty. You know?
It was rated R hardcore.
Yeah, it was
and
perfect.
And so, do you like Jeremy?
Yes.
How do you like Cersei kind of being like the Dawn now? Like, she's taking control.
That was pretty great.
Do you like that? What did you like about the episode? What did you not like about the episode, if there was anything?
Stuff that I did like, I loved in the second to last episode, you know, you have Ramsay Bolton, who is just a shit nonstop.
My favorite character. I was sad to see him go.
Such a great character. But the hilarious moment that you realize is when he's face-to-face with Jon Snow, that he's such a little fucker, but... when face-to-face with somebody who's actually, like, a real warrior, he can't hang at all. It's like all of his strength as a character is in the torture and the manipulation and everything that he does, but it was just nice that, you know, when he came toe-to-toe with somebody who was an actual warrior, that he just basically got the smackdown hard.
It was a fine episode, and I just love that Ramsay really just took it to the very end. Like, he was like, I am not going to stop being a bad guy.
Yeah.
I am just...
I'm
going to try to get out of this.
I'm not going
to
stop being a prick until I am absolutely dead.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure I was not the only one screaming, Serpentine! Serpentine! At the screen when Tom and... Or when what was the other guy's, the other Stark kid's name?
Bran?
Rickon. When Rickon was running in a straight line, I think all of us were horrified by that.
Well, and it's just funny that you have that moment where you're watching Game of Thrones and all you can think about is Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that scene's straight from Apocalypto, Mel Gibson's movie. I don't know if y'all have seen that.
Yeah.
That's totally, like, the same type of thing, but it's, oh, man, it's, that scene, I was like, oh, it's going to happen. It's at the last second.
Oh, it's so, such good tension, though.
But, yeah, like, the whole episode was so good, and I really want to know, I want, like, a deleted scene on the Blu-ray that's coming out. If you hear HBO, send me one. Of, like, what is Cersei's, like, big, gigantic bodyguard called?
The Mountain.
the mountain.
Yeah. Well, he's Gregor Clegane, right?
Yeah. So she,
but the zombie version.
She goes in. He goes into the nun's room, and I was like, I want to see what's going on in there.
Oh man, I didn't.
He was dead. He totally has a rigor mortis boner that he's got to take care of.
That was perhaps the most disturbing.
That thing's
got to
go somewhere.
And she started saying shame.
Yeah. Shame. Oh, that was cold. Yes. That was brutal.
That was really good, and it was cool to see, you know, Tyrion and Khaleesi teaming up. And,
mm-hmm.
It was sad to see what's his name, Mikael Houseman, the Khaleesi's kind of boyfriend that she.
Oh, Dario Naharis.
Yeah, told her.
Yeah.
As you roll your eyes
like
and
that.
Flutter.
I had to channel something to get that. I don't know what happened. I blacked out.
So hopefully he comes back, but it doesn't seem like he's going to be back for season.
Am I the only one that thinks that the Tyrion and Khaleesi romance is a possibility?
I totally made that joke.
I saw that, like, maybe it's, like, being budding.
I made that exact joke, like, three times when they were all, like, talking and stuff. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, they're totally about to hook up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely tension there, but who knows? I think ride that dragon. I'm real excited. And we've got a year to wait for that. And the music, for when Cersei blew up the whole temple mm-hmm. was amazing. It was like that soft music, and there was like, it almost seemed like she really didn't talk the entire episode, like maybe like one or two lines, but I think she was silent the whole episode. And she like, oh man, and her looking at Jaime Lannister at the end,
right?
And Jaime's like, oh god.
Yeah, you're right, the only talking she did was to the nun.
Yeah, yeah. And that was I mean, the whole season she's just silent, and that was like, she's getting, yeah. Oh, man.
That I really liked that they had the little touch of her wearing kind of the Tywin Lannister outfit. I don't know if you guys caught that, but, like, the whole outfit was very much the Tywin Lannister look. So I liked that. I thought that was a cool throwback.
I like that, too. Before we get on to our next finale, I mean, we're excited. We're going to watch the season over and over again. But I want to, before we end our Game of Thrones talk, I want to do a Mary Fuck Kill with each of you of Game of Thrones characters.
Okay.
Very fuck kill, Jonathan. Out of very Game of Thrones
God.
Characters.
Oh, that's such a hard question. All right, well, I think if you're going to say who you would fuck, it would have to be the Red Woman with the necklace on.
Okay.
Because for God's sake, just hope that it doesn't come off in the middle of
you
it.
Like
he likes the danger of a potential.
Yeah, okay. It's a really scary boner that I've got about it. I'm very frightened.
It's not the weirdest boner he's had.
It's not. So that, and then Mary, God, okay. Well, I'm interested to see the turns that Sansa's character is taking. She's really kind of becoming her own powerful character, and I like that. That's cool.
Okay. And so you marry Sansa.
Yeah.
And
then Kiel, well, they did already handle... Okay, Cersei. I'd like to see Cersei get hers.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Jeremy, marry...
Wow, let's see. Who are the least likely to murder you?
I don't think that's anyone. Maybe Tyrion. Just don't sleep with his girlfriend.
let's see. Sex, I'm going to go with Brienne.
Ooh. You wouldn't walk right for a week.
big and athletic.
That's why we're best friends.
Yeah, right? let's see. Mary, probably going to go along with the Sansa one also.
Yeah.
It's a fairly safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be probably the least crazy. kill. Is it female characters I would kill or anyone?
Anybody.
Anyone.
What you got against women, man?
Yeah, we probably would just have to be Ramsay to go
Ramsay?
Original on
but
that
But he's dead
one.
Already.
I know.
Well, you could kill him again. He might come back.
Clearly, that's not really an issue for the show.
Yeah, they're going to zombify him. Let you kill him again.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you could party with anyone on the show, who would you party with, any of those characters?
Oh, Varys, definitely.
Who?
Varys.
Oh, okay,
he
yeah.
He seems like a hoot.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Me too. I would fuck Khaleesi raw.
on the dragon?
Yeah, okay. Hopefully.
With the dragon.
With the dragon. God.
It would be a threesome.
I would marry Tyrion because he just seems like a lot of fun to spend your life with. Like, we're drinking, he has lots of things to say, we just have a good time.
Kind of the perfect man.
Yeah, he really is. And then I would... God, I would kill... I would kill Jon Snow.
Jon Snow?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because.
Just because you like to go against the grain?
Yeah, just to go against the grain.
Just because of his pretty fucking hair?
Yeah.
You really want to be hated.
He has a look about him.
Yeah. It's because he knows nothing.
Yeah, he knows nothing. I like it. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to this show probably a lot of you haven't seen, but the fans will appreciate. The season finale, updated series finale of Penny Dreadful. It's not coming back, folks. It is done. For my take, before we get into Jeremy and Jonathan's take, which I think we might have to have Josie, you know, referee. I really thought that it was a good send-off. There was problems with it, but as a send-off for a final series... For spoiler alert, you can't really go on without the main character. And I think there was a good way. It's a gothic, it's a romantic, it's part horror, but I think they ended that whole thing well. And so I was pleased with it. I would like to have seen more seasons, but three seasons and done, fine, we're good. So which side are you both? Well, one of you's for it, one of you's against it, right?
I'm very much against it.
Wait. You're on an island.
Oh, I'm on an island? Oh, so you don't have to. Oh, so, okay, Josie liked it. Okay, so, Josie, you'll have to pipe in here, because I can't handle these two guys at once.
That's fine.
Okay, so, one of you start, and tell me why you didn't like the finale.
Okay, my number one beef with the finale was that we had a perfect opportunity to have a three-way Frankenstein, werewolf, and vampire battle, and we didn't fucking get it.
But that's not what the show is about.
But it could have been, and that's what it should have been about, okay? My big problem with the show is that I know it was kind of a horror-inspired drama, but when it first came out, I had such high hopes, because there really are so few good horror-themed shows out there.
I totally
And then
agree.
It just slowly became more and more of a soap opera. And that really bothered me. And one of the things that I really dislike about the show is the incredible inconsistency and the potency of each character and their power. So if you look at a few episodes back, I want to say it was like episode 6 or 7 of this most recent
third season. Yeah.
When the vampires came into the house and you've got the new vampire hunter lady, I don't remember her name, and then Ethan and... Everyone else was there. Just three vampires damn near killed all of them, right? They were getting their asses handed to them by these three vampires. And then suddenly, fast forward a couple episodes, and they're fighting an ocean of vampires and just kicking all the ass in the world. And there's a lot of inconsistencies like that, and I didn't like it.
Well, there's always inconsistencies in every show, even Game of Thrones. But with Penny Dreadful, I really think that each character in those last couple episodes really got to, it was all about them becoming a better creature, a better person, because they were all kind of assholes at one point. Now they...
It was too neat and tidy. It was like, they wrapped it up, but it was neat and tidy in that they made it all nice and happy, but it was not neat and tidy in the fact that there were so many loose ends that they still just kind of left out.
Because, well, they didn't know, really, if they were going to sign on for another season. So, I mean... Granted, what's her name? Ives?
Vanessa Ives?
Yeah, gone. Mm-hmm. And you can't have the show without her, unless...
She was the only good part of the show.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people thought, like, they were going to bring her back, and I'm like, they did her death fairly well, and it was, like, a big deal, so I don't think they'd bring her back.
Right.
For anything. And it kind of... Jeremy, what do you think?
You know, for me, it was really disappointing. They spent the entire... really kind of series from when they introduced Ethan as a werewolf with the whole Wolf of God thing, and they spent almost the entire third season building up to the battle that was supposed to be Dracula Wolf of God thing, which never even remotely happened. And one of the things I was really disappointed in was even with Dracula, it's like in every episode, every season, We've had really cool, great-looking monsters.
Right.
We never one time got, you know... It was just...
I think we got creepy eyes at one point from Dracula.
Maybe like a little bit, and then the fake fangs when he was like biting into her neck that one time. We never one time got the satisfying, for me, Dracula awesome moment. And then... And even then, it was we really only with Ethan got a couple scenes where he was tearing into just kind of some groups of dudes, which at that point was more. It was really just kind of gore for the sake of gore. It's like for all those scenes, I would rather them just cut that stuff out and then actually had moments where it was Ethan fighting Dracula, like in wolf form. And then and even the same thing, I just felt like the show wasted a lot of time with stuff that didn't matter. Like when you spend 10 minutes. With the therapist hypnotizing her assistant to figure out where they are walking through
the fog.
You know, stuff like that. It was you could cut that out completely and the show wouldn't even matter. And the other thing too is like, what's the point of if you know you're gonna end the show, what is the point in introducing Dr. Jekyll? What is the point
and the vampire hunter girl.
And the vampire it's like the Katrina Hardigan, who literally the majority of her lines was just her saying her own name over and over and over again. that was her dialogue.
And she was an interesting character.
With every person she met.
Didn't go
to Katrina Hardigan. Katrina, I like literally was like over and over and over.
Yeah.
She was like the only character on that show whose name I 100% know because she would not stop saying it.
I'm still just pissed that we didn't get a Frankenstein monster fighting vampires.
And yeah, you had the whole time where you had the Frankenstein monster who... you know, was off doing, like, his own story.
Sidelined completely.
Yeah, and to me, I always felt like when you watch the first episode, or the first season, a lot of it was how all of these characters, like, were kind of intertwined into one big story, kind of, like, going forward.
Right.
But it's like, by the time they got to the third season, it's like everybody's just off doing their own doing their own shit.
And the big missed opportunity that I saw is tying into the whole, like, wanting to see the actual Frankenstein monster kicking some ass. Was that, you know, you had Frankenstein, with the monster with his kid, needing to, like, go perhaps speak to actual Dr. Frankenstein to bring his kid back to life. I wish that they would have just sent him to Dr. Frankenstein and had him think about doing this, but then Frankenstein was like, hey, look, I need to go help my friends kill some vampires first, so you can help me with that. And instead of making Dr. Frankenstein suddenly, like, really good with a pistol and a crowbar, just send the vampire... Because, you know, then they would have completely been able to address how much more powerful all these characters are all of a sudden. Don't make it so they can handle 100 vampires. Make it so Frankenstein's monster goes in there and kicks a bunch of ass. That would have been so much fun to watch.
That would have been way better to watch than the psychiatrist being like, oh, I'm from New York. I know my way around gunplay. And all of a sudden she's like an expert gunfighter killing vampires.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just let Frankenstein rip people in half and throw them against
like,
the wall.
No one was like, man, I cannot wait to watch the psychiatrist kill and fight vampires. No one said that because you're laughing because it's stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So that's, but honestly, by the time the episode was over, I was like, thank God. I'm so glad this show's done. Yeah.
Like, for real?
For real. Not even exaggerating.
Same way for me, too. After two, I enjoyed the third season up until those last two episodes. And then I was like, that's the point where I'm like, I'm out.
Yep.
Like, the second season I hated. And I watched the third one because Josie really liked the show. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it one more chance. But after the end of the third one, I was like, fuck that show. I'm glad it's not coming back.
I have to go to Josie real quick. I know you're chomping at the bit here. What do you think? These guys are tearing up the show.
So it's not that I disagree with their points. Their points are all valid.
Mm-hmm.
But just because a show leaves loose ends doesn't make it a bad finale. Like with Dr. Jekyll, they introduced him in the last season. But, you know, use your imagination. You know what's going to happen to him. Like, it's pretty obvious based on, you know, the stories.
I like that they made it more of a spiritual transformation, that he kind of became the darker Hyde, right? Like, Lord Hyde. He became that. Not necessarily, like, becoming the visual scary monster, but becoming an internal monster. I liked that. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, but you don't actually see him become the visual Hyde, but maybe he does later on down the road. You don't know that because they don't ever show it. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. And with the Wolf of God, there were some things that... I'm okay with Ethan killing Vanessa. That's totally
because
cool
he
with me.
Basically fucked over Dracula.
Yeah. Like, and doing it out of love. You know, whatever.
He kind of fulfilled his purpose, is protecting her. Kind of fucked up, you know. but still, ultimately, in the end, he did save her. The only thing I wish was a ultimate Ethan versus Dracula fight off versus everyone versus Dracula. I would have rather had it be Ethan versus Dracula and then him kill Vanessa or something.
So Penny Dreadful is not in your... you don't like the show anymore, or would you watch it again, or and just not the last two episodes, or are you just...
I would not so watch it anymore. Now I'm just pissed. I was really hopeful for the first season, but I remember when I heard it was coming out, and the first season I was totally on board. And then the second season progressively just made me madder and madder. And the third season I was like, they better win me back. That's how I felt going into the third season. And they didn't.
And they did. Jeremy, you know, feel the same way?
Same exact way.
Wow. Okay. Well, Penny Dreadful fans, you don't, you know...
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think on our Twitter at, was it media_Ocrity?
Yes.
Just media. Three dudes?
Correct.
Right. Let us know what you think, but it looks like half and half of us here are for it and against it. I like Penny Dreadful. It's not my favorite show.
I still like it.
It's good. It's like the show. It's okay. quickly, let's go down the two other HBO shows that ended, Veep and Silicon Valley. Who watches Silicon Valley here?
You. Definitely.
Everyone. Yeah, Silicon Valley. Okay, excellent. This third season was so good. It was great to see, like, the rise and fall of Buck Manatee. I really think Big Head is like one of the best characters, and it's great to see, like, they always leave it up that cliffhanger hangover. What am I saying? Where it's like, oh, all these good things seem to happen to these guys, and then they ruin it, but then something else really big happens.
Yeah.
So at the end of this season finale, their video chat really took off, and Ehrlich Bachman, which I really need an Aviato t-shirt.
Just get the Aviato van.
Yeah, an Aviato van. Aviato. he bought Pied Piper, which was amazing.
That was.
That was really cool. And that show's so good. I can't wait to see where it goes next year with all of it. Dinesh and Guilfoyle, they're all so good.
Guilfoyle's my favorite character.
Guilfoyle is so good.
And those guys.
Yeah. And Jared is hilarious. Yeah. What do you think of the finale?
I loved it. I mean, it's easily my favorite comedy on TV right now.
Yeah, it is.
It's so well written, and all the characters are interesting and fun. I love it.
What do you think is going to happen with Gavin Belson?
I'm not sure. I have no idea where they're going to go. I always feel like I know where they're going to go, but then it completely comes out of left field that they're doing something totally different. So
it's funny. I've talked to a few people who work in areas like they do on the show, and there's been great, really great scenes in the show. In the first season, they had like the world's best jerk off joke, where they really did the math equations on how many people to jerk off in the amount of time. And then in the second season, they did a pro-con list on whether or not to tell somebody they were going to die. And I've talked to a few people, and they said that those things are like real dry erase boards, and they literally equate everything into equations just like that stuff. I was like, yes, they really got it right in that show. But I'm really happy for that show. It's so good.
They deserve its success.
Lasts forever.
Don't they have a movie coming out with those guys?
Silicon
TJ
Valley?
Miller? No, it's TJ Miller and the guy that plays the main character in Silicon Valley. I forget the actor's name.
Yes, they do. What is it called? I can't remember.
It looks interesting. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be funny because I believe they wrote it as well, so it should be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. What about Veep? Y'all watch Veep?
I just started watching Veep a little while ago, so I'm only in the second season right now.
Okay, so Veep and Silicon Valley and Game of Thrones, I think all these HBO finales were just really off kilter. We're like, wow, they just killed a lot of people in Game of Thrones. And then Cersei's here, and it's like, oh, wow. And then in Silicon Valley, it looks like Pied Piper is over by the way of their platform, but they're going in a new direction, which was weird. And then in Veep, which is basically about the vice president who became president. And now, at the end of this season of Veep, should I spoil it for you?
Yeah, sure. It's not one of those shows where I'm like, no, don't tell me the fucking spoiler.
She's president right now in this season, and they're having the big election. And at the end of the season she does not get elected. And it like leaves it open, like they don't know where she's going to go or what they're going to do, but it's coming back for another season. So like, what is she going to be the Veep of? Well, how are they going to do this?
You know? Right.
And it's really funny. So all three of those episodes on HBO is kind of like really weird finales where like, where do they go from here?
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. Any other finale that came on? I don't know.
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's
guess none that mattered.
none that mattered. Let's move on to... We're going to talk about some real nerdy stuff here. We're going to talk about video games that have been made into movies and then segue that into the comic book video games where they were based on our favorite comic books, and they might have been good, they might have been bad. I don't know. But we have to start as some famous nun from Sound of Music said, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. The video game movie that really started it all was back in 1993. It was my first date. I remember it vividly. My mother took me and my date to see Super Mario Brothers in the theater.
Oh!
It is such...
You're aging yourself.
I really am. I was like 13 at the time. Whoa.
I was six.
You were six. You were six. Jeremy was 50.
I was a little older.
A little older. 52.
53-ish, yeah.
53-ish. So Super Mario Brothers came out in 1993. And, I mean, I guess how... Mario came out, what, 88? 87, 88, is that right? I'm trying... Like the video game.
Around there, I would say.
So it was a few years past, and... It made $20.9 million at the box office. Not really a lightweight, not really good. But that was such a weird adaptation of a video game. There was a... I don't even know. They dressed up finally at the end. Mario and Luigi Mario, Bob Hoskins and the clown from Spawn.
John Leguizamo.
And Dennis Hopper as King Koopa, who was just like a lizard.
Yeah. Totally weird.
That was such a weird movie. And so since then, there's been a plethora of comic book movies. The one that came out after that the following year was another Nintendo favorite, Double Dragon. It really did nothing. It made
I completely forgot about that movie.
$2 million in the box office. It wasn't until 1990, they brought out Street Fighter. It was Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia. That made just under $100 million.
A film classic, truly.
And then the following year, in 1995, they brought Mortal Kombat to the big screen, which made $122 million.
That's one of my wife's favorite movies, actually.
Okay, so let's go on. Let's talk about Super Mario, Double Dragon, Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat. These were like the first really big games of the really early consoles. And, I mean, who cannot remember the Mortal Kombat song like, Mortal Kombat!
Bum, 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 bum.
I'm sure the buff dudes and you listen to that when you work out.
It's all we listen to.
But like with those movies, we were young and now we're older. We've revisited it. Probably I have. They don't hold up.
Unfortunately. No, unless you're my wife, in which case totally rewatchable.
There were some moments in Mortal Kombat that are still like nostalgic to me. But that's probably the only reason why I still want to like that movie.
Although, let's be honest here. Raul Julia's M. Bison was truly a magnificent
spectacle. Raul Julia is like one of the greatest actors that ever lived.
He was so good. Aside from Jean-Claude Van Damme, definitely the best part about that movie.
It just doesn't
get old, that part. I mean, so good.
He is good. Jeremy, what do you think? Do you remember seeing those? Do you remember how...
I remember seeing those. I remember more from the Street Fighter movie than I do from the Mortal Kombat one.
Okay.
My brain is purged of the Mortal Kombat movie.
Hit the eject button.
Yeah. I'm out.
Suck it out of the airlock.
There was also a sequel to Mortal Kombat called Annihilation. So that was 1999. A few years went by, and one of the biggest, one of the biggest movies came out. Made $274 million. Remember what video game movie this was? It was in 2001.
Resident Evil?
Nope.
Was it Doom?
Nope. Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Ah, okay.
I think Angelina Jolie's then tits sold that movie. I hate to say
that. Version of her boobs?
Yes, that version of her boobs. Before they were sadly taken from us. Am I wrong? You're laughing. What's going on?
Oh, I know.
Did I say something off color?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, I really don't think that movie would have made money if... I mean, look at the posters, look at the trailers. Mm-hmm. They're on prominent display. I really think that's really what sold the movies.
Oh, well, no doubt. No doubt. It was purely the sex appeal that sold those movies.
Yeah.
God knows there was nothing else good about it.
Yeah, there wasn't. But it made that much money. And then the biggest franchise is Resident Evil. It might have not made as much money, but they spawned the most sequels. There's just been like 8 of them. And they're still making more. I like the first Resident Evil.
I never liked Resident Evil movies.
I think they were... Why? The first one's good. It was like one of my...
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. For a zombie movie? From back then? What year did that come out? That came out in 2002.
Really?
Before a lot of the zombie craze came out, Resident Evil was one of the first.
I would still rather watch Return of the Living Dead any day of the week.
Well, it was the 80s. I'm talking about like this new version of zombies.
Didn't like 28 Days Later come out right around the same time? It wasn't that long after.
Oh, man. It might have been the year after. I'm trying to remember.
It wasn't that long.
Because the remake of Dawn of the Dead
came out, too. So 28 Days Later is a good zombie movie.
I agree.
Resident Evil.
But we're talking video game adaptations. There's so much.
I know.
But this one was...
I'm not going to give it special treatment, though, just because it's a video game adaptation.
Okay.
It's still a terrible movie. In my humble opinion.
Blasphemy.
What do you like about it?
I like how the whole setup, the zombies were really creepy. I remember seeing it in the theater, and I was like, oh, those zombies are really creepy and scary, and I loved how they brought in the characters from the video games and introduced
them. Did you feel like it captured the feel? Because I didn't. That's what I was missing for me.
But up until then, there was 3-4 games of it? Yeah, absolutely. To adapt it from the video game to the film, to the big screen, I think they did a good job. Hmm. Should have spawned a sequel. What do you think?
I never watched any of those movies.
Jeremy never watched them.
A big giant D-gap from Jeremy on that one.
And then, of course, we had House of the Dead, which was by my favorite director, Uwe Boll, which got universally panned. And then we had, in 2005, The Rock in Doom, which they had the first-person shooter scene in it, which was cool. I liked it. I mean, it was fun.
Another god-awful movie.
God-awful movie. Ugh.
Terrible movie with some great-looking monsters in it.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock's awesome. I want to like everything The Rock does, but...
And I do. Oh, Silent Hill. Silent Hill had a movie, if you
Silent
remember
Hill
that.
It wasn't bad.
It made just about $100 million. I don't remember anything about it, but I remember it came out.
No, I like the visuals. I think that they had some good creepy moments. Did it capture the feel of the video game? Not entirely, but it was pretty good.
Then you have Hitman, Far Cry, Max Payne. And then I think it looks like, well, not the biggest one yet, but the one of the biggest money-making video game movies was, where is it? Prince of Persia, which I hated.
That was, another terrible movie.
Jake Gyllenhaal almost killed himself and his career after that movie.
Another funny thing, this is another Blu-ray that I own in my house because my wife bought it.
You own the Prince of Persia?
I do. Apparently my wife likes really bad video game movies. I'm starting to see a trend.
You're starting to see a trend? Oh, I'm so excited.
Because that is just a terrible movie. And, I mean, really, Jake Gyllenhaal is the Prince of Persia.
I love, his last like 5 movies have been unbelievably good.
Yeah, but that movie.
The Prince of Persia was that.
Yeah, I mean, really, let's cast Jake Gyllenhaal as a Middle Eastern guy.
It's just really difficult to put a whole entire video game into a film and make it really good. Prince of Persia didn't do that. You also have Need for Speed, which was fun, you know, with Aaron Paul right after Breaking Bad.
I did not watch that one.
It's all right.
I didn't see that one
either. Car heist movie. It's okay.
Yeah.
It was all right. They made a lot of movie. And then you have the 2 movies that hit the theaters this year would have made the most money. One of them is Warcraft, and the other one is Angry Birds, which I guess you can consider a video game.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So they... Total right now, since they're probably still kind of in theaters, is over $750 million.
Wow.
For those 2 movies.
Combined or each one?
Combined.
Okay.
So, and I mean, they're still in theaters. But Warcraft, you know, strictly PC, and then you have Angry Birds, which is like mobile devices.
Right.
I didn't see that coming. I mean, I figured Angry Birds would get a lot of money just because of the cult kid angle.
Still surprising, though.
Yeah, but it's still like
really?
2 or 3 years after it was really popular.
Yeah. Like, who cares about Angry Birds still?
So, why do you think video game movies suck in general?
Well, I think that the problem is that I would bet that most of the people that are making the movies weren't really playing them, these games. Like, they're probably people that, if they played it at all, it was a little bit of homework. Like, I'm going to play this game for an hour or two, and then I'm going to write a script about it. Or I'm going to read the cliff notes. You know, I think that that's the big problem, because very few of these video game to movie adaptations ever end up feeling like the real game themselves, and they just miss the mark. And I think that, generally speaking, they've all been given really low budgets up until, like, World of Warcraft and a few, like, Resident Evil, things like that.
Well, I mean, World of Warcraft might, and Prince of Persia might be one of their biggest budgets, probably. Yeah.
But then you look at movies like Doom and Super Mario Brothers and things like that, and you see how tiny little budget that they had.
It's been a while since I've seen Super Mario. I really want to go back and revisit that, because it might actually be genius in this day and age, in like a meta sort of way. I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy?
You know, I think it's tough to take a medium where... With a movie, you're just sitting and you're watching it. You're being entertained. But when you're playing a video game, even if it's, you know, it's a kind of a storyline on a track, you're still involved in everything that's going on. And I feel like a video game can get away with not having as good a story, you know, that may not translate in terms of, like, something being a movie.
Like Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Not a great, you know, storyline.
It doesn't matter what the story is on something like that, but when you take the controller away and all you're doing is watching it, then, you know, it can kind of really gives you an idea for how good, you know, something can be. But even, you know, we've had a few of the, like, Halo TV shows that have been made.
Red versus Blue is hilarious.
That's a good one.
That's an anomaly.
I was going a little more of like the live action stuff that they did. You know, which, you know, those were not bad.
Right. And it's weird because, like, Spielberg was assigned to or attached to direct a Halo feature film live action, but it's on the back burner right now.
Yeah.
But that would have been really cool to see something maybe like that.
Yeah. Because I want to say was there a while where it was like maybe Peter Jackson or somebody was supposed to direct something Halo related, and then
Peter Jackson, and I think it was Peter and Spielberg.
Like, oh, there's them two on the same thing. Okay.
So, I mean, you have these big names attached to that, but then you look at the history where only a couple of them have really made their money back, but almost all the video game movies are universally panned. And yeah, I think you have a point there. I think that the video game, you're fully immersed in like this world, whereas a movie, you're kind of like on the outside of it.
Yeah.
Just watching like, well, I wouldn't have done that, or this is weird. But again, you have to think that it is an adaptation of the original content to the big screen to make it.
It to me, the ones that a couple of games that to me that have really good stories that I think would translate really well into movies would be incredibly expensive to make. It would be like if you were to make a Mass Effect movie. You know, you couldn't. You'd have to go big budget, or it's just going to look like crap. And then another would be like BioShock. It's the same thing.
BioShock
would have to look awesome, and they'd have to build really great looking sets. Yeah, you know,
it needs to be done with either storylines that are just so good, or these worlds that have been flushed out to the point where they're just they feel real, like World of Warcraft. Not that I'm saying it's good because I haven't seen it yet, but.
So this year, December, Christmas time, we're getting the Assassin's Creed movie with Michael Fassbender playing in the lead role. It looks awesome. The trailer
looks really
cool.
I'm excited about it.
And you also have another Resident Evil movie. You have the Uncharted movie. You have a Minecraft movie. And you have a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And that was recently released.
There's a Sonic the Hedgehog movie coming out.
And then a Tetris movie, which I don't understand how it's going to happen. Who knows what's going to happen, but, I mean, that could be just a screen with just lines coming down for 2 hours. But Assassin's Creed looks really good, and, like, trailers have looked good in the past, and they've come back to bite us.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
The Assassin's Creed one actually looks respectful of the source material, though. That, to me, is the thing that it has going for it the most. Because, I mean, I think I played the first Assassin's Creed game, and then a little bit of a couple other ones, but it actually looks very respectful of the sources.
So our sub-genre topic right now is, we've talked about these movies, but we haven't talked about the comic books in the movies and the comic book movies into these video games. One of my favorite comic book games was like the Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 for like the original Xbox. They were so much fun. They got the web slinging down. You had Bruce Campbell narrate it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just passed out the whole time. You know? it was like everything you wanted, but it was really cool. But so many comic books that have become video games and comic book movies that have become video games haven't been necessarily all that great. Jeremy, can you elaborate?
Yeah, to me, it also comes down to on those. Typically, I feel like when we talk about source material, usually the video games are pretty good about the source material in terms of how it translates. You know, John mentioned, like, you know, with the filmmakers turning the video games into movies, how much they actually play. I feel like the benefit with the video games is most of the people that do that probably are pretty familiar with the source material, at least from a lot of the writing in those games. And so I feel like in that case, you know, it translates pretty well.
Okay, what about you? Do you play a lot of, like, yeah, Capcom or Marvel or stuff?
There's a number of them that I really loved throughout the years. I think some of my favorites were the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games.
Oh, so
Jeremy
good.
And I have had many hours of fun playing those games.
And when you say fun, so in quotations...
Oh, no, there's no quotations there.
Okay.
I mean, like, we had lots and lots of fun just playing it because it was a rad game.
What were your go-to characters?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think I played Deadpool for most of the time. Deadpool and Iron Man, or, you know, Caps.
I'm not surprised about Deadpool.
Yeah. Or Iron Man. For me, it was pretty rotating.
Yeah?
I usually roll, like, find one team and just roll with a couple of guys and then...
Switch it up. That's the fun.
That's what made that game so good was that it wasn't like... You know, you could only win pretty much if you were the Hulk, but it was just like, man, you could switch and play any character and have just so much fun. And they did such a good job with all the powers.
And one of those video games I really liked, which wasn't like a comic that was based off a game, but it was the DC Universe versus Mortal Kombat fighting game.
Yeah,
really
liked
it. It looked good. It was fun to play.
It was like most Mortal Kombat games, though. When you get it, and it's really fun for a week.
You're going to sell this. But those old Spider-Man games, I just want to go back to that. There was so much story in there. There was a lot of sneaking around, like a Hitman game. And it was fun. I think they got it right. They got the comedy right. They got, you know, just...
Specifically the second one. The second one was a masterpiece.
It was really good.
Have you played any of them since then?
I have not.
Because they're all disappointing.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you can play a game and go, this is, like, technically well done, and I like it. But I think that the Spider-Man 2 was in the right time at the right place, because it was just suddenly you have this whole open world that you can go explore, and it was fluid, and it worked.
Yeah, you get to go outside and swing around.
Everything since then is just retreading the same ground.
Well, there actually was one that came after Spider-Man 2, and I think it might have been... Which console era was Spider-Man 2 on?
That was original Xbox, I think.
There was a game, and I think it was called Ultimate Spider-Man, and it was more of like a comic booky version of that.
Yeah, I remember.
And you could play as Venom, and Venom was in there.
The Noir Spider-Man as well, right?
Well, that was a little bit different. That was actually one even later than that.
Oh, okay.
But it was just this small one, and I think it came like towards the end of like that generation of Xbox, and when it was like just... really only around for like a little bit, but it was a little more comic booky looking version of Spider-Man.
And that one was pretty fun.
Really good.
Nice.
But, you know, to me, I think with what we run into now with the comic book games, it's like, you know, we've had all those, the Batman Arkham games, which I haven't played the last couple, but it's like, you know, I played the first one and I played Arkham City. Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the budget on those games is just so high.
And they're really good.
And they're really good. And it's like, you know, I feel like when I play some of like the newer Spider-Man games, it's like everything that's third person is, to me, very influenced by those Batman games. It's like even when you play the Lara Croft Tomb Raider, you know, it's like you hit the button, you know, and you've got like the, where, you know, the Batman's got the vision where it looks for like clues and stuff like that. And
right.
Every game has that. And I think the Spider-Man game, you know, we hit the button for the Spider-Man's, the Spidey sense. But, you know, the majority of them, I feel like, just don't have the budget that Batman game has. Mm-hmm. And so they just can't live up to the quality of those Batman games.
And I think that's the reason. So those Batman games, like Arkham Asylum and Arkham City or whatever, those are actual, like, full games. Like, they take years. And the rest of them are more tie-ins, marketing for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And have half the budget, if that, just to, like, go along with the movie.
And they don't even have the time, because it's like those video games will take 5 years. A movie takes, what, 2 years typically to make?
Yeah, I mean, if that.
And if you think about how long it takes to make a video game and how long it takes to make a movie, it's like you would have to have concept art from the movie done so far in advance for them to use it in a video game to build everything that it just doesn't even really make sense.
So what video game do you want to see turned into a movie that hasn't been done yet? And what comic book or comic book character do you want to see turned into a video game?
I would love to see... Well, Jeremy already hit it on the head by saying he wants a Mass Effect and Bioshock movie. I think that would be fantastic. I'm going to add in that I would love to see a Skyrim movie, and I would love to see a Dragon Age movie.
Those were great.
Dragon Age. Remember the old video game Dragon Slayer?
No.
Yes.
A movie's coming out.
I know.
Excited. it's before your time.
Apparently so.
Apparently so. So, Skyrim, huh?
Yeah, man. I think
people roaming the fucking mountains for 3 hours.
I'm just a big fan of the fantasy world type stuff. You know, okay. Like that whole thing, witches, wizards, the whole shebang always gets my blood pumping.
You don't want to see a Battleborn movie?
No, not particularly. It's a good game, but I don't necessarily care about seeing it become a movie.
What about any of these in Lego game form?
No. Just no. But it's probably going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if one day we got a Skyrim Lego. That would just be my worst nightmare come true.
Because he would play it and he would have to explore everything.
Yeah, he would. He would have to do it.
I'd be cursing the entire time.
Leave no brick unturned.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to like Legos before all of this is over. Tell me what Legos did to you that you hate them.
I love actual Legos. I was a huge fan of Legos as a child, but I just really hate the video games. They're just really boring.
Okay. One of my favorite games still to this day, I mean, minus Halo 3, is a game for the GameCube called, what was it called? I have to come back and I'll put it in the title. Why am I forgetting this? It was a really good game. It was a really scary horror game. And at one point, Doug Liman, the guy who directed Swingers in the first Jason Bourne movie, it was going to direct it. And it was so scary. And it spanned like different timelines. And it was just so crazy. I want to see that so badly. And I know Jeremy would probably agree with this. I want to see a Twisted Metal movie at some point.
That would be fun.
Pretty cool.
Do you guys remember Vigilante 8? Do you guys ever play Vigilante 8?
I did not.
It's very similar to Twisted Metal. I'd be happy with either.
Like a Twisted Metal Mad Max type of movie?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That would be a lot of fun.
Sweet. Oh, that would be so much fun.
I just need more vehicular combat.
Get the mountain to play Sweet Tooth. I'm good. You're good. Okay. Go around climbing out of his ice cream truck. Just
that would be
destroying
so
everyone.
Yep.
Sign me up. Get Thor.
So, to end our second episode, we want to talk about a game that was released yesterday. It is an amazing game, and their first game that came out was called Limbo. It is a side-scrolling game that you could download on Xbox, and it was really just atmospheric and scary, and they just released one yesterday, their new game called Inside. And I played it for a couple hours. I got fairly far on it. I know, Jonathan, you did too. Did y'all download it yet?
No.
You're going to love it. Usually in video games, I don't, like, verbally yell or scream. when I'm playing, like, a side-scrolling or first-person. When I play multiplayer Halo or something, that's all over the place. But this one, I mean, I was in the dark. I was by myself. And I was, like, literally scared. I was, like, I was getting tense. My heart rate was going up. I was like, no. And it was scary. There's all these moments. And how do you explain Inside?
Well, I think that somebody watched the intro scene from E.T. and decided to make a video game out of that entire scene. Okay. Because that's what it felt like to me. You know, when the aliens are being chased around by the men with flashlights and just that vibe, I was like, okay, they made a movie out of that. Or rather, they made a video game out of that.
But much scarier.
But really violent. Yes, way more violent than I was expecting because I'd never played Limbo.
Okay.
So their like Play Dead style has all been new to me.
Yes.
So, I was blown away by it because I was not expecting to be scared by this game. And I have experienced the same thing, especially when you start getting chased by the dogs and things like that.
Yeah.
And you start getting just mauled by a dog and there's blood, and I was not expecting it because you're this little kid running around in the
screen. Yeah, because you play as like it looks like an 11-year-old boy without a face.
Yeah.
But everybody else doesn't have faces or they have masks on.
And it's just really very simple. Everything about the art style is simple, and there's
really
no menu
haunting.
Screen.
Yeah.
And it just looks very haunting and simple, but that's part of what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, and there's only three buttons you use.
Yep.
There's the jump button, there's the grab button, and then there's your
running.
Your controller. Your
joystick.
Joystick.
Yep.
And it is insanely just perfectly made. And IGN gave it, like, the rare 10 out of 10 rating.
That's surprising to me, because that's so rare.
And so far, it's worth all of that.
Because, I would agree.
Because when you start out the game, you're as a little boy, you're running through what looks like a field with, like, weird, creepy things in the background.
And you don't know why. That's the best part.
Mm-hmm. And then you just start seeing these masked people, and you start seeing them with flashlights and vans, and all of a sudden, if you get caught by one of them, you're, like, instantly shot, like, dead.
Or,
like,
killed in some brutal
office. Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy, and I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know where it's going, but there's some really freaky, really haunting imagery in there.
Playdead really seems to be knowing exactly what they're doing with just keeping everything simple and interesting and fun. That's the thing that blew me away the most, is so many side-scrollers nowadays just aren't that fun. They're not that engaging. But this one, it made me realize how lazy my video game brain has become in recent years.
Yeah, it's all about puzzle solving and, like, where do I have to put this to get
it? Yeah, it's old school video game. Yeah. And you got to figure it out and try it a few times and fail to get it. And I was just like, oh my God, I've got to dust off my NES brain. Because, you know, you get used to playing these modern games and it's nothing like that at all.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's so different. That's what's so good about it. And because I played Limbo a few times, and when I got to know how it worked, I try to beat times that beat the whole thing through.
Right.
But yeah, like both games, there are Limbo is available and Inside is available for $19.99
on Xbox Live. And totally worth every penny.
Yeah, it really is.
Go out and get it.
Jeremy, Josie, y'all gotta do it because it's unbelievable.
Well, I've played Limbo before.
So you played Limbo. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. I didn't have time to finish it, but what I did play, I really enjoyed, and it was so creepy.
So
what you're saying is Inside is a way better and creepy and scary version of Limbo.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like the same concept, but like, whoa.
And was Limbo also violent as well?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's violent. Messed up, because you're also playing as a little boy, and like the ways they kill him,
they have spiders in it, and like all these, it's
really messed up.
I like it,
it's fun.
And
then I played Ori in the Blind Forest. That's also a side-scroller game where it's puzzles, but it's not creepy. It's actually happy and fun.
It's the opposite of it. Yeah. I want darkness and death in my mind. So no happiness and no Legos
That's probably wise. The Legos are just too much fun for me.
Too much happiness. So we have a couple more minutes. Anything else with you guys? Any news? Anything y'all want to talk about real quick?
Well, one thing I did want to talk about that I read about the other day, kind of going back to the comic book video game adaptations, is I saw that there was an abandoned Daredevil project that looked really interesting.
They
were going to make a video game adaptation of Daredevil using a very similar system to GTA 3 and the Spider-Man 2 game. It's right around
like
the same
open world.
Yeah, very open world, and you're going to have Daredevil vision, you know.
Okay.
And things like that as radar sense. And it looked like it was going to be a really fun game. I'm kind of disappointed. Is radar sense not the right word?
That's totally fine.
What's the correct term?
We'll just roll with radar sense. Like a thing.
Whatever, it sounded good, I guess.
You know. I would like, I mean, Daredevil, I mean, it's perfect time for them now since the bigness of their Netflix show and everybody loves it. It'd be cool to see, like, a real Daredevil video game project.
I would
that's
like
as
that
gritty and violent as some of the other stuff.
Honestly, I would be happy to see more smaller budget comic book adaptations. Taking a video game, like even a side-scroller in the style of, you know, these types of games we're playing now, Inside or in Blind Forest, stuff like that.
Well, even like the Deadpool video game was a medium-budget game that was really good.
Deadpool was a lot of fun.
That was good, and this is not a comic book specifically, but that first Transformers game, I think it was High Moon Studios that did it.
Mm-hmm.
That game was so good.
There's comics, though, of Transformers, of course.
Well, just did it because it didn't originate as a comic,
that's true.
So I would like to see more medium or small budget comic book games because I feel like there's generally more passion in those studios. It's not guys that are just looking for a paycheck. It's guys that really are into their project, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot more love in those games. I dig that because, I mean, I am pissed that I haven't been given a good Captain America game ever. Not one.
We'll try.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll see what we can do.
I also really just want another Marvel Ultimate Alliance game.
Okay.
That would make me really happy. Jeremy and I have talked about this many times.
I don't understand why there hasn't been one.
It's been, what, 10 years since the last one? 7 years, something like that? It's crazy.
All right.
God damn.
So we'll look into that for next episode, next week, to see if we can find any news on a new Alliance game. But that's our second episode. There was no blood this time. Nobody died.
Just a little bit over Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
A little bit of blood.
A couple boners, though. That was good. That was our second episode of Mediocrity, where the show was just...
it's all right.
It's all right. Follow us on Twitter at @media_ocrity. Tell us what you think. And we're giving away digital copies of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe to us, write a review, and you'll have the option to win a digital copy of Star Wars The Force Awakens. We'll post it all on our social media. But I'm Brian, here with Jonathan and Jeremy and special guest Josie. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week for episode 3.
Thanks, everybody.